Dinosaurs are the focus of the PBS kids show Dinosaur Train, seen here in mid-Michigan on WKAR-TV. The host is Scott Sampson of the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, known as Dr. Scott on the show. Scott Sampson is coming to East Lansing for a couple of public events during the MSU Science Festival, and current state Scott Pohl talked with him this week. Scott, why does Scott Sampson think kids love dinosaurs?
Well, it's really kind of simple. He says dinosaurs are big, they're bizarre, and they're extinct. Basically, as he explains, ancient monsters that are no longer going to crawl out from under their beds. He says he was a dinosaur kid himself, and he's never grown out of an interest in paleontology. That's part of why Scott Sampson loves working on Dinosaur Train.
Dinosaur Train is a show on PBS Kids. It's produced by the Jim Henson Company of Muppets fame. It features very colorful animated cartoon dinosaurs traveling through time and space on a train in the Mesozoic era. And what could be better for kids than the melange of dinosaurs and trains? It's like chocolate and peanut butter. I come on at the end of every episode to talk about the science behind the stories and to connect the content of the program with the present day. And I'm thrilled to say that Dinosaur Train is a roaring success. I believe it's over 10 million households a month in the U.S. alone, and it's in over 100 countries as well.
Roaring success. I like that.
Yeah, well, it really has been. I mean, T-Rex is the favorite dinosaur of most of these kids, and T-Rex figures prominently as the lead character, Buddy, a baby Tyrannosaurus.
WKAR is a proud sponsor of your trip to East Lansing. We're talking with Scott Sampson of the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, and he's the host and science advisor to the TV program Dinosaur Train. You may have seen him known simply as Dr. Scott on the show. What is it about children that appeals to you? Why do you like focusing your work on helping children learn about dinosaurs?
Well, there's been this transformation in the past generation where kids have become disconnected from nature. They don't spend as much time outside in it. They're not as interested in it. Usually, every kid, I should say not usually, but every kid is born with a deep sense of wonder. All you have to do is watch a baby crawling through the grass. But by the time kids reach about 10 or 11 years old, we've pretty much stomped out that sense of wonder in many cases. And my goal has been to keep that sense of wonder and curiosity ignited and fueled. And I think this television show has been a great way to do it. And of course, my interest is also in getting kids outside into nature. So my tagline at the end of every Dinosaur Train episode is get outside, get into nature, and make your own discoveries. And to be honest, I had no clue if a television show could encourage kids to turn off the television and go outside. But 6 years later, I'm happy to report that it can and indeed does. I've heard from hundreds of parents whose little boys are digging holes in the backyard. I'm sure they thank me for that. And, you know, their little girls are out there looking for dinosaurs, a.k.a. birds, flying in the trees.
How does the TV show and your public appearances at things like the MSU Science Festival fit in with your work at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science?
Well, I've been at the Denver Museum for about 2 years, and I came here to basically walk the talk that I'd been writing and speaking about the importance of science literacy and connecting kids with nature for a number of years. And the museum offered me a platform to do it in a large city. And so that's what I've come to do, and work collaboratively with a number of organizations to try and scale the Children in Nature movement to urban proportions.
The Western U.S. is one of the great parts of the world to find and study dinosaur sites, isn't it? Is that part of what drew you to Denver, to get into that part of the country?
Yeah, I'd also worked previously at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City, and certainly it is great to be somewhere where you can get in a truck and drive for a few hours, or in some cases just an hour, and be finding dinosaur bones and things like that. So, yeah, I do enjoy being in the West for that reason. You're absolutely correct.
I wonder how much you think we don't already know about dinosaurs. What's left to learn about dinosaurs?
Just about everything is left to learn about dinosaurs. We are barely scratching the surface. And as evidence of that, there have been more new species of dinosaurs discovered in the past generation than in all prior history. And that rate of discovery has not slowed. So all these kids growing up today who say they want to be paleontologists, well, course, most of them won't be. Most of them will grow out of it. I just never did. But for those who do not grow out of it and decide they want to become paleontologists, there will still be plenty of new discoveries. Dinosaurs are found on every single continent now, and they span over 170 million years of geologic time. And we're just starting to put the pieces together. Effectively, up to now, we've been almost stamp collecting, figuring out what's out there and giving it names, etc. Now comes the really interesting work of putting the pieces back together, reconstructing ancient ecosystems, seeing how those ecosystems changed and evolved through time, and even relating those learnings to the present day. We are heading into a world in the near future that will be a hothouse world, and we still live at this moment in an ice house world. So in order to understand where we're heading, we have to look back in time and see the world when there were no polar ice caps, etc. So studying dinosaurs can help us understand where we're going as well.
You've mentioned dinosaur finds on every continent. Tell me about the lost continent of Laramidia.
Laramidia is Western North America. So for a number of million years in the late Cretaceous, actually for most of the late Cretaceous time period, there was a shallow sea that stretched all the way from the Arctic Ocean in the north to the Gulf of Mexico in the south, dividing North America into East and West America with this warm, shallow sea in between. Turns out if you want to understand the world of dinosaurs, there is no better place to look than Western North America or Laramidia, because we have samples geographically all the way from Alaska down to Mexico, and we have time samples through millions of years so we can see how all these animals were changing through time. So Laramidia has become a focal point for dinosaur studies over the past 15 years or so.
You also have a book called How to Raise a Wild Child. Tell me about your new book.
Yeah, this book is all about the disconnect between kids and nature. The average kid today spends 7 to 10 hours every day looking at screens and on the order of 7 minutes playing outdoors, which is 90% less outdoor time than their parents had a generation ago. So How to Raise a Wild Child is meant to give parents and teachers and other caregivers the tools needed to get kids outside and reconnect them. And this is critical for the health of kids and for the health of the places that we live. I mean, why is anybody going to become sustainable unless they care about their local place? And why would they care if they don't spend time outside? So I've been having fun traveling the country and talking about this issue and getting people engaged as nature mentors, helping kids connect with the natural world.
Scott Sampson of the Denver Museum of Nature and Science is the host of the PBS program Dinosaur Train. He'll be speaking at the MSU Science Festival Friday the 17th at 7 p.m. in the Kellogg Center's Big Ten Room, and also on Saturday at 10 in the morning in room 138 of the MSU Chemistry Building. That Saturday morning program is designed specifically for kids who are from 2 to 8 years old. Scott Sampson, thank you.
Thank you very much, Scott. I greatly appreciate it.
For Current State, this is Scott Pohl.